The Lord just kind of expanded my understanding of this verse. It's John 14:6, and Jesus was responding to Thomas about how could we know the way where he was going. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. And I'd already been exposed to this whole idea of what the truth is. All have some understanding. I have my truth, I have your truth, and can have a variety of different things. And our truths may not agree with each other if they're not established on the truth. We think that we know the truth, but it could be established based upon a lie. It could be based upon what you've heard. Could it be based upon something that you've read? And one couple of things related to that is that we hear something enough times, we start to believe that it's true. So you can hear something enough times and think that it's true, and it's really not based on the truth, which is what Jesus said he was. And that whole concept of making that distinction, I think, is important for this whole study that we're going to do together, is that we want to base everything on the truth. And Jesus is the truth. And we want to look at Jesus from the standpoint of being a son to the Father, because that's what we really are all meant to be, is sons and daughters to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus is the perfect son. And the reality is that we can have a couple things going on in our heart, and one of the kind of the principles our heart works as is what you believe in your heart is what you really believe. And what you believe may be based on the truth, but it may not be. The trickiest ones to separate are the ones that are kind of that we call the half-truths. Half of it's based on truth and half of it's based on a lie. And it could come from the church. There's a lot of religiousness in the church that's not based on the truth. It's based on some lesser truth. And Jesus said he was the way and the life. And the truth will put you on the path of the way, which he said, no one comes to the Father. The way is to the Father. Jesus said, I'm not the end of this experience. I'm just to show you the way to the Father. And that's what we all want you to go to, is the Father. We're going to talk about Jesus and his example of being a son, but the desire is to put you on the way to what we've experienced of being the life. You know, a lot of us think that we're living the life, and yet it's not the life that the Father really wants us to have. There's so much more freedom, there's so much more joy and peace and rest when you're experiencing the life. The life that the Father provides for us through Jesus. And so that's kind of a focus of where we're going. And I just wanted to share one other thought with you. Is the whole difference between reality and concept. We can have the truth, but it can just be a concept to us. The only way we're really going to know the truth, the only way we're going to really even understand the words is to experience them. And that's part of what we want to go into in these next 2 months, is for you to experience love, to experience a loving Father. All of us have an understanding, a concept of what Father is and what love is. We know that God is love, and we can give you all kinds of definitions. I'm sure every one of you could give me a definition of love, and there would be a lot of differences in that. Because it's still a concept and it's not a reality. And we have to experience something to really know it. And we can't know the English language. We can't know the words in the English language until we experience them. They're just concepts in us. And even if you've had one or two experiences of his love, we can slip that back in becoming a concept again if we're not careful. It's an ongoing experience. This whole thing with the Father's love is not something you just come to a study like this or read a book or two about or hear a sermon in church and think you know and you have arrived at the Father and his love. The Father is pouring out his love continuously on us, 24/7. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, he's loving us. And it's just a whole new way of thinking. We're going to change some paradigms, we're going to shift your focus to allow you to think differently. And this is an experience that we want you to have. And as we get around other people who have had that experience, I think you'll start seeing the difference in them. There's something different about someone who has had an experience with love to someone who just knows it as a concept. And we want it to become alive and real to each one of you. And that's a really big challenge for all of you, just to open your hearts and to experience the Father loving you.
Amen. So, with him having said that, I'm going to say that we had hoped, but we knew it was physically not going to be possible with as many people now as are coming to the group. We had wanted to be able to get to have each of your names and you to share something brief about yourself. But we determined that you're going to have the opportunity to be in small groups where you'll get to interact with a few people a little bit more this evening. And then hopefully you'll go out of your way to get to know some of the people that you're not familiar with. For us, there are some familiar faces, and there are some faces that we have just begun to get to know. And so we are thrilled that each of you is here, but more than anything, we just want you to get to know a little bit about us. Father told me, even though you've done groups in our home before on Father, there's a group coming that doesn't know what you've done in the past. And so we were introduced by a friend that sowed a lot of God's word and truth into my life. She started, I think it was in December of 2001, one of those 2 years. And she gave me some cassette tapes that changed our lives forever by Jack Frost. And we were impacted by Jack Frost. And then as we have gone on over the years, we have continued to be impacted tremendously by Father Heart Ministries, where James Jordan and all of the people associated with him, such as Mark Jide and Mark Head that we had here in State College, and Trevor and Linda Galpin, are all about walking as sons. That idea of what it means to not just have the Father, but to walk as his son. And we're talking about sonship as not a gender-sensitive word, but just as a concept. We are all sons of God. We are all sons through Jesus Christ. And therefore, that revelation has gotten bigger and bigger on the inside of Rick and I, to the place where we just got to tell somebody. We never knew life could be this good. We have never had so much fun. We have enjoyed now learning to walk as a son and daughter of our Heavenly Father. And I can tell you, I feel more childlike now, even though Rick and I have been married for 45 years, than I did at the beginning. So one of the things that I really want to emphasize, while we have in the past several years, I think we've had probably about 5 groups in our home about Father. We have also done soaking in our home for about 5 or 6 years on a monthly basis. But he said to me, he says, I want you to help each person recognize that this is not just something you just come and you listen to and you got it. Because this is something that has to be sown into your heart and it has to become a part of you. I mean, my husband's so different now than when he was before we met Father. He's a different person completely. And I can honestly say, Father said, you cannot share this with anybody for at least 4 years. He says, I want you to marinate in this. I want you to soak it in for yourselves personally. I want it to become your lifestyle. This is not something we are prone to just sharing. We are prone to just allowing it to flow out. You know, it's meant to be something that's so real to you that it's just automatic. I don't believe Jesus went about places having to say things and try and get people's attention. He had crowds that were drawn to him. And I don't think it was just because of the words he spoke. I think it was because of the looks he gave the people, the tender touches he gave to them, and the way he interacted with them, that everyone that he came across, he took time for. He was never in a hurry. He was very cognizant that, I see you. You're important. You're valuable. He made every person feel special. And that's the way Rick and I want to be. If you had a chance to read the first two chapters, and especially the introduction, I think in the introduction, Barry Adams, who is also a part of this Father Heart network, so to speak, of people, he quoted another gentleman saying, it's not so much about knowledge, but like a long bath. And a long, warm bath. And I just encourage you that as you go from tonight, that it's not just about what we share here, but you go home and you make time on purpose to just let him love you, to let him speak the truth to your heart, so that it's not just something you hear us say, but we have prayed, and I am praying right now that the words that I speak are from him, that he's filling my mouth, and they are words of spirit and life that are going to connect to your heart and not your head. This is not an intellectual left brain exercise that I want you to experience. That's not why we've invited you into our home to do this book. Mark Jide, I think, does a good job of presenting a lot of the truths that are about this area of the Father in his book. But it needs to become something that you get into your heart and not just your intellect. John 3:16, I bet everybody in this room could probably quote it, even if you hadn't been to church. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Da, 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 da. But how many people know that verse, but it's still an intellectual knowing? It's not a heart knowing. They don't know that he loves them personally. He only knows that he loves the world. Oh my goodness, you think he could love me? Maybe a little difficult to grab a hold of for some people. And so I just want this time that we gather together, there is no experts. We have just begun. And our friend Trevor Galpin said it the first time, so I'll say it too. We're just three-year-olds helping two-year-olds get to know a little bit more about their daddy. We are not all grown up. In fact, he is showing me how I have to become more and more childlike and more dependent upon my daddy, on my heavenly father. And so, having said that, I want to tell you, I grew up in the church. Rick grew up in a church. He didn't get saved until 3 months after we were married. There's a lot of things we could share about ourselves, but the bottom line is it's not like we didn't have an image of God. But unfortunately, I don't believe it was ever presented as something that was real and vibrant so that my life would be different because of him. I mean, I knew I loved God, and I got saved when I was in confirmation, when I was 12. I made him Savior until I was 21. I made him Lord, where he was going to get to call the shots. But it's been a process now of letting him become more and more real to me, knowing and letting him be involved in my daily life. So with that being said, I want to give you something that I wish somebody would have told me years ago. The language of the heart is not words. The language of the heart is images. So how many of us have twisted images of who our Father is? Because of what we've experienced with our natural parents, because they give us our first image of what our Heavenly Father is like. And we're not blaming them. We can't give away what they didn't get. But they can only give us what they experience. And so we get twisted images of who our Heavenly Father is. And we get twisted images from what the church leaders share or what other people that we believe are Christians say. Where do we get our images of who our Father is? Let's put it this way. We've probably gotten some images that have not been very positive. I know for me that that is exactly what the case was. Rick already shared one of the things I was going to say, but I'm going to say it again. Because, you see, images mean a whole lot. This is a picture of my family that I know each one of them. Okay? And they are very special to me. Now, you can see the picture of them. I could tell you that there's my two sons, Jim and Mark, and Faith is his wife, and our two grandchildren. But guess what? That's not the important thing. I love to have this picture when I can't be with them. But guess what? If I only was going to be able to have a picture and never got to hug them and love them and snuggle with them, I'd be really sad because that's not reality. Cardboard piece of paper is not going to make the difference in my life. This is a picture of a beautiful Lake Te Kapo where we were in New Zealand a year ago. Okay? I just love the image, and I love the other end of that where I saw a whole field of lupine. But the bottom line is, there is nothing that is real for you from these images because you have not experienced them. Do you understand why I really want you to get this? It's one thing to have an image. It's another to have it be something you've experienced. I can go back and I can relive these pictures. I can revisit them. I can go wherever I need to. These are places that I've been. They are real to me. I can still see myself walking around this lake. I can still remember the fun we had with my family at Christmas. But they are real to me. But they are not necessarily going to be real to you because they're not something you've experienced. They're just a concept. I can tell you all about them. We have a cardboard picture. But it's not going to be real. And I just want you to begin to recognize that's what we're trying to get across with Father. Many of us have had images. We can have actual physical images. But you may not have experienced what Father wants you to experience. Just because I've had an experience, and I would love to just unscrew each of your heads and pour in my experience so that you could know His love more because I've experienced it. That's not the way He is because guess what? He always planned for us to have individual encounters with Him. Moses got to be up on top of the mountain, and he knew God in a way that some of the other people didn't. Joshua stayed close to Moses because he saw something that he wanted. How many of us have associated ourselves with somebody that we know, hopefully, has a better understanding of who Father is than maybe we do? I'll be the first one to admit, let me hang around him. I mean, last year, Father opened the door and we got to go and soak in for a month listening to James and Denise Jordan in New Zealand just sow this message into our hearts. And we said, wow, it was great. It was terrific. And we realized at the end of the month, we don't know what happened, but we really were different. But now, I'm just going to be like what Rick said. We can walk in that. But then if we don't continue to cultivate Him continuously loving us, guess what? It can go back to a concept even for Rick and I. Just like a friendship or just like a marriage, it requires constant interaction. It's not something that you just do once in a while. If my husband and I didn't have more time together, guess what? Our marriage wouldn't be where it is. Because we make time, we take time to be connected. And so for me, as a girl growing up, I saw my Heavenly Father as way far away, up there, not really involved with my life. I mean, I had a good father, but he was passive. He couldn't open his heart. He just didn't know how to share that. He didn't let me know his heart, and he never knew mine. But that's not what Father has for each of us. He wants to have that personal, intimate relationship with you. And the Lord told me I was supposed to play this little clip. We have friends that are in Scotland. And this lady, Heather Johnson, has a brief little thing that I want to share that is called intimacy. And I just want you to close your eyes and hear the words.
Intimacy is the cry of your heart to be known, the desire of your heart to be valued. It is security that brings rest from striving. Transparency that brings no fear. It is the resurrection of the life flow between God and man. It is not based on striving, for there is no fear, no demand, no expectation in the moment of intimacy. For intimacy is God-given, for you are created in His image, and the heart of God is love, His nature is love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the epitome of intimacy, the epitome of intimate communion and heartfelt relationship. Light, and in them, no. to blossom in the heart of love. The call to walk in intimacy with your God is at the heart of worship, is at the heart of His relationship with you. You are His child. He is for you. He is loving you now. Nothing can separate you from His love. Father God is calling you home to His heart of love, to walk in intimacy. Is to be vulnerable, open, and transparent. It is the cry of your heart and mine. It is the heart of true worship. It is His heart for us.
There's just an ending to that, but I wanted to play that for you because I think it does a great job of giving us an understanding of what our fathers always long for. Intimacy, as that word is, means into me see. He wants us to see into Him and to His heart, and He wants us to be open and willing to let Him come into ours. He is looking to have that relationship you've always wanted with somebody. No matter whether you have a physical relationship on this earth with someone or not, He desires to be everything you need. And yet sometimes we have never given Him that opportunity. We were created for love. We were created to be loved. We were created for relationship. We were created to bond to others. We were never meant to be an island to ourselves. But when a baby is born, I would imagine most of you could say, you look at a child, and especially a woman, I don't think there's too many that don't, just, ooh, oh, what a beautiful little baby. I mean, I just saw brand new twins that were 11 days old this morning. I'm thinking, oh, they're so precious. But once those babies get old enough to look you right in the eye and they begin to smile, they are receiving your love and then they're giving it back. They know how to take in love and they know how to give it back. I mean, it just is a flow. But all too often, we stop being childlike as we grow. And we deny that we even have a need for love. I am not going to believe that that's important. I don't need that. I don't need anybody anymore because we've been hurt. We didn't get our love needs met, and so we close our heart and we say, I'm not going to be open. So most of us learn to be survivors. We survive and we go through life without expecting to have what we need coming to us. And therefore, I'm just wanting you to recognize that your Father wants you to recognize that that's not who He is. But we look in our world around us, and especially with everything that's happened in this last week, and some horrific events of people killing others, and you recognize there's a verse from the Message Bible that says in John 14:23, because a loveless world is a sightless world. A loveless world means if I don't have love in my heart, then I don't see them and they have no value. And they can just be expended and they're not important. And so I just realized that behind so many of people sitting in churches or so many people that have stopped going to church, that we can be born again and yet never feel that we're seen. We can feel that we ought to walk through this life on our own, because nobody's going to be there for me, so I will be independent and self-sufficient. And I'm just telling you, that idea of being independent is what we will talk about here towards the end of what I'm going to share this evening. But it's all about not relying on our Father. independence. He's been just convicting me of any place where I'm not depending upon him. I'm functioning in independence, and that's not letting him be father. And that's it. Ouchie. For me. He opened my eyes a few years ago to his extravagant love for me. He opened the eyes of my heart, and now it's my passion. I want to pursue him. I want to know his love more than anything in the whole world. As far as I'm concerned, there is nothing that's greater. Because love never fails. And he is love. It's not a part of his personality or his character trait. It is who he is. So if I don't understand the fullness of love, then probably I'm not going to be a real good example or reflection for other people. Because it says they'll know we're his disciples by our love. Not by the gifts of the Spirit, not by our ability to speak and quote the word, but by our love. So I want to learn how to be a son like Jesus was a son to his father. As I went through all of the things getting ready, I just really heard him say, just tell each one of them, I long to love you. I long to love each one of you. He longs to love you. He's always wanted to be our father, but too often we don't let him. Because as I said, we've been prone to being independent and self-sufficient. There's a verse that I was not familiar with, but now I've heard it over the last 8 years or so. And oh my goodness, it doesn't use the word father a lot in the Old Testament, but it does use the word father in several places. And one of those is Jeremiah 3:19. And I want to read it to you out of the Message Bible. This is Father's talking. I planned what I'd say if you returned to me. Good. I'll bring you back into the family. I'll give you choice land, land that the godless nations would die for. And I imagined that you would say, dear Father, and would never again go off and leave me. But no luck. His children from the time they left the garden have constantly gone away from him and not chosen to call him Father. And so with that, I just want to remind you, it says in Isaiah 9:6, that the government shall be upon the son's shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He is the Everlasting Father. Isaiah 9:6.
Jesus.
But he, the Father, and the Spirit are all one. And he is saying, he wants us to know that that's who they are. It said, let us make man in our image. They were all involved together. And so it's very difficult. We have this mindset, okay, Jesus is one person, Holy Spirit's one, Father's another. Yes, and they do have their different distinctions of what they're involved with. But they are so one, there's no separating them. And so he's always been the Everlasting Father. And he's never changed. But we have chosen to usually walk away and never call him Father. Especially if we had a bad situation growing up in our own homes with our earthly parents. Okay, so this is a scripture verse that I'd like anybody that has a Bible, you can turn to it. I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. But in Acts 17:24 through 28, I want to read this to you because we have earthly fathers and mothers, but he is our true father. Where did we get our spirits? It wasn't from our parents. He breathed, just like he breathed into Adam and Eve. He breathed the spirit. So he sends our spirit from heaven to come in and indwell our physical bodies. And so this talks about him being our real father, our true father. And I love these verses, and it just gives me a greater revelation as to him wanting us to be his sons and daughters. In 17:24 of Acts, it says, God who made the world and everything in it. That means us. We're part of everything in it. He made us. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He is the source. He is the true source of all. And yet many of us have not seen that, including me. For many years I didn't. And he made from one blood, because we all came from Adam and Eve, every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. With the onslaught of evolution, I believe it has caused so many people to question this very fact, that he is our creator, he is the one that gives us life and breath and all things. But I just want you to recognize that this is pretty precise, that we're all from one blood, we're all given life, breath, and all things from him. He is the true Father. He is the one that he has always been and always will be. It's a matter of we will let him be a father to us, if we will acknowledge him as Father. And that led me to a very powerful experience. I can honestly say this past week, Father really rocked my world. And he said, I need you to share this Sunday evening. So please hear my heart. This is not to put condemnation or anything negative on any one of us. We're all in a process of letting him be Father. Okay? But John 8, and I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation is by a man by the name of Brian Simmons, who is a Wycliffe Bible translator. And the Lord laid on his heart to translate the Bible book by book to give the heart of the Father the passion and the heart that of his love for each one of his creation. And so he has done a good portion of the New Testament now. And so I'm going to start with verse 36 of John 8. This is where Jesus is talking to all of the religious leaders. And some of them have believed on him. And he says, if the revelation of being a son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free. Even though, and now he's talking to the religious leaders, some of which had not believed, even though you are descendants of Abraham, you desire to kill me, because the message I bring has not found a home in your hearts. Yet the truths that I speak, I've seen and received in my Father's presence. But you are doing what you learned from your father. Little father. What father? Let me read on. And they are indignant with him, and they say, well, Abraham's our father. And then it says, they responded, what are you talking about? We only have one father, God himself. We're not illegitimate. And Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I've come from his presence. I did not come here on my own, but God sent me to you. Why don't you understand what I say? You don't understand because your hearts are closed to my message. You are of the offspring of your father, the devil, and you serve your father very well, passionately carrying out his desires. He's been a murderer right from the start. He never stood with the one who is the true prince, for he is full of nothing but lies. Lying is his native tongue. He is a master of deception and the father of lies. Now, I have been mulling over all of this all week as to how I'm to present this. I knew I had to read this, but I want you to recognize that when Adam and Eve left that garden, they had fallen for the lies of Satan. They had walked into deception. Because they were orphaned from their true father, he became their father by default. Now, most of us, including myself, would not say, no, he is not my father. Okay, we don't want the devil to be our father. But how many times when we function independently of our heavenly father, and how many times, like Rick was saying, when we believe something that the world has told us is true, and yet it's not the truth, how many times do we end up falling for his lies? And ultimately then being more connected to him than we are our heavenly father. It says, my message I bring has not found a home in your hearts. When we get something that we really believe in our hearts, and we believe it, and nobody's getting us to budge, sometimes that could be a really dangerous place, is what he's showing me. He said, Sue, I need you to be open to me showing you what you have believed that's not truth. not the truth. And so this study for this next 2 months, I want to encourage you to ask him to give you an open heart to hear the truth, rather than going with what you may have been grown up in a church or heard somebody else say that you fully respected, because he wants to be your true father. And he does not want you to be deceived like the religious leaders of Jesus' day were with the father of lies. I mean, Jesus was talking to the religious leaders saying, "You're of your father, the devil," believing his lies. Even when he came wanting to give them the truth and love them. So how much more do we have to be aware of what he wants to do in us so that we don't get deceived and not experience the fullness of the love he has for each one of us? I pray that you hear that with your heart and with my heart, because he said, "I need you to speak the truth to this group that's coming to your home tonight." Rick and I, are the further we walk, the more we are aware at times that we have believed lies. And I wouldn't have told you that I was believing a lie, but the more I get the truth in my heart, and the more I am now able to be a daughter, I don't fall for the condemnation and the guilt that the enemy tries to get me to believe, because that was a lie. Jesus already took care of that, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. So I am seated with him, and I'm to rule and reign, and as he is, so am I in this world. But for a long time, I used to beat up on Sue. I used to beat up on myself royally because I didn't do it right. And that's where we can fall for the lies, just by allowing guilt and condemnation to come in. So our identity is meant to be seeing that he is the father of lies that has tried to get us to believe we are self-contained power sources, rather than a territory that's being fought over. The enemy tries to put thoughts in our heads as well as God. But if we think we've got to come up with the answers and we've got to figure this out ourselves and we're the source, that's the way an orphan functions, then we're in a dangerous place, because we will not experience the good things that he has for us. The father of lies wants to stop us from believing that our father is so good that he's got nothing but extravagant love for each one of us. He has nothing but good. But Jesus said, "I am the way to the Father." Now that has to be very difficult for people who think they know the way. And Satan was one of those. He had pride, and he was very focused on himself, and that caused him to stumble, and he's caused many others to stumble because, "Well, I know the way." And if somebody says, "Well, I know the answer to that," probably they're in a place that is dangerous. I'm getting to the place where I don't know the answer. I know nothing. I am nothing. I have nothing. I can do nothing without him. He's getting me more and more humble and quick to be like a little child. A little child's real quick to say, "Daddy, what needs to happen? Can you tell me? Can you help me? I don't know what to do here." They're very quick to wanting help. They're very quick to ask for help. Not the way most of us as we grow up gets. Sometimes we are much more prone to doing it ourselves. I used to get my identity from what I did. I was very much the performance-oriented individual. Firstborn, multitasking, you name it, I could do it. I was a bundle of knots on the inside, but I could do it well. Now I just get my identity from being his beloved daughter. And I'm having so much fun because it's very, very different. This group, I want to encourage you. I used to read this book when I was performance-oriented, and I used to see, "Oh my gosh, I need to do this." Or, "Oh my goodness, I haven't done that." It was all about what I needed to do in order to please him. And now I want to encourage you to read this book with a relational lens, with your father showing you how madly in love he is with you and how he has nothing but love for you and how Jesus came to make that way for you to come home and be content in his heart. I don't believe that you can read the Bible just with looking at the black letters. It is so much more in the white. He wants to paint pictures for you. And that's why I started off with it, saying what I did. It's all about painting pictures. Painting pictures, painting pictures. So as you go through this book and through this study, I want to encourage you to realize this is all about the heart and not your head. And Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Guess what? It's very important what images you allow on the screen of your heart. So if there are negative images, ask him to give you a positive one instead. Now, I already mentioned it, but can you see yourself in the center? This story is not just about us. Basically, it centers about the father who wanted to have a bride for his son, and his son who wanted to have many sons for his father. And we just happen to be involved in this beautiful love triangle of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're in the center, and they're just dancing and having a grand time. And are we able to come and receive the love? One of the things that is in John 17:23 that Mark Jai talked about is that Jesus, in his high priestly prayer before he went to the cross, said that I want the love that you have for me to be in them. That I love them as much as you love me. I mean, the first time I heard that verse, do you realize? He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Now, intellectually, you might say, okay, or it might be going. But on the inside, to hear that in your heart and have it be, oh, he loves me. He loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Yeah, that's who he is. And he wants you to experience that. When Adam and Eve chose independence and they were separated from his presence, he never stopped being father. But their hearts were empty of the nurture and the comfort and the love that they had known being in the garden. They became broken people with their spiritual eyes being closed and their natural eyes being open. So now we're judging good and evil, right and wrong. And he never meant for it to be that way. He meant for us to live out of relationship and love and let him show us how to interact with each other. In Mark's book, it's all about redeeming our orphan hearts in that second chapter. And he's bought us back. We came originally from the Father. He's created us for his pleasure. And I want to read out of the Passion Translation in Romans 8, 28 and 29, because I love this verse, especially in the Passion. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan for bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. This means the son is the firstborn among many who will become just like him. Do you realize? That's his vision for each one of us. Become just like Jesus. And it's not meant to be hard, because we just get to be put in him, and then we let him show us. He does the work. But ultimately, it's so easy for us to live out of our soul and body that sometimes the reality of the inheritance that we have as his kids is not something we experience. The world that we live in is an orphan system. Democracy is the best thing we have in this world. And yet, it is still a system run by orphans, for orphans, because we don't acknowledge that there is a father that we're looking to. We are so quick to come up with our solutions to the problems rather than looking to someone that is the true source. I'm just going to be honest. We have too many orphans. Okay, please forgive me, but we have a lot of orphan leaders in churches that don't know how to be a son of their father, and therefore they can only be orphans leading orphans. We have a lot of orphan pastors and orphan leaders in the church that can't give away something they don't have. I'm not blaming any one of them, but until your eyes are open to this, you don't see things the way they really are. You see things the way you are or what you've experienced, and you don't see it the way Father wants you to see it. Marquette, when he was here, he said, orphans have to do it all. They're like slaves or servants. They can never rest. In Jeremiah 50, verse 6, it says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. We've titled this group Becoming Sons and Daughters. And I'm just going to tell you, the further Rick and I walk, the more at rest and peace we are. Because we know our daddy's going to take care of it.
What was that last scripture?
Jeremiah 50, verse 6. We were not meant to struggle. We were meant to snuggle. Where did Jesus come from? In John 7:18, it says that Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. In John 14:6, he says, or John 14:1, I think it is, he says, I am going away to prepare a place for you. Guess what? Where's that place? In the bosom of the Father. Ooh, I'm ready to go all the time. I enjoy snuggling with him. But an orphan heart feels separated from God, without a home, alone in the world, no sense of belonging, living only from a fallen nature where I've got to be all and do all and fix it all and have the answers. That's what happens for so many of us. There's no feelings of love and intimacy, no ability to belong, no joy. And then we begin to act all of those things out in our daily routines. Where's all the competition in our world? Where's all the putting one person down, comparing ourselves to somebody else? That's going to be a part of your discussion. I want you to think about, what are all the ways that we act like and feel like orphans? All of us have orphan parts to our heart. We're all in process. Okay? There are parts of my day that I can act like a daughter, and I'm just going great. And there's other parts my husband said, yeah, she's acting like an orphan again. I mean, we have not arrived. We're all in process. But we're getting more and more quick to realize. And one of the things, Rick and I have gotten to the place where we realize it's very easy, and it will stop your heart from going and taking the negative things about yourself. You can just say, oh, I was wrong. Oh, just acting like an orphan. Okay, I was wrong, Daddy. Forgive me. And you just keep right on going. And when you say, I was wrong, it stops your heart from taking that as seriously, and it stops it from getting stuck in your heart. Cain became the first major orphan in some respects after Adam and Eve because he killed his brother. Okay? And he didn't even want to have a relationship with his brother. And so he was destined to wander the earth restlessly because of that void in his heart. And I'm just telling you, that's the orphan heart all the time. There's no rest. There's no ability to feel at home and settled all too often. But Father knows that Jesus came to make the way, and Jesus is the one that died the death and was raised from the dead so that we could be redeemed from and have an end to that fallen state and come home to our true Father. Father wants to love any orphan mindset, image that's a part of our heart that's not of Him. He wants to just love it out. If you can receive love in that part that's been an orphan, guess what? It'll no longer be an orphan. It'll just be a part that you've let Daddy love. And if you really look at it in John 14, verse 18, I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. This is what Jesus told His disciples before He left. He said, I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Jesus promised. In some versions it says, I will not leave you comfortless. You see, an orphan is one that doesn't have any place of comfort. An orphan is one that doesn't know the goodness and the love of the Father. You have a place in His heart. His heart was always meant to be your home, and your heart was always meant to be His home. He never planned to be in a temple. He planned to be living in His people's hearts. And so He really wants you to have that experiential knowing of who He is and all that He wants to be for you. He doesn't want it to just be, yeah, you can quote the verses. That's a good place, but then begin to allow Him to give you the images. Begin to allow Him to have you experience that for yourself. Because there is nothing that He doesn't want to give you that He hasn't given me. You can say, oh, I wish I had what she has. He's no respecter of persons. And you know what? I know some other people that have more of Him than I do. You can be as selfish as you want to, as greedy as you want to, because He has an abundance. He's the source, and He's never going to run out. It's not like orphan thinking. I'll just tell you. Orphans never have enough. They don't think they're going to have what they need. But guess what? They are, if they come to their true father. We have this word we call realize. I just realized something. What does that really mean? It means something has suddenly become real. And that's our heart's prayer, that by the time we get to the end of November, that you are going to have some things become more real in your heart than you've ever had them before. Now, that's not saying there won't be more that you can't grow into, but in experiencing more, because guess what? Rick and I have only just begun. We want more. But I'm just telling you, that's our prayer for you. And so tonight, before we close, I just want to pray that over each one of you. And so, Father, right now, I just pray for each one that's here and those that may listen on the internet, that, Father, you will come and make yourself real to them in their hearts, that they would see you in their image maker, that they would experience you and encounter you in various places throughout their days as they read your word, as they spend time just being quiet, that you would come and you would love on your children in special ways that will be just perfect, that will meet them and surprise them. Father, I just pray for God's fingerprints and God's surprises to be upon their lives in these next 2 weeks until we meet again. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.